The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, what's up, Gypsy Gang? We're back for another episode of our Supercross Companion. We're getting down to the business end. I mean, we're way past the business end. It's almost over. And especially with Cooper Webb's win on the weekend in New York, it now is essentially over. But before we get into it, I've got my producer, Mick, joining me in studio. Before we get into it, a couple messages from our sponos, bruh. Got more sponsors than a C-class Loretta's rider right now. Not really. Just got to give a shout out to the guys at Boost Mobile. You can head to boost.com.au and check out their ridiculous data packages. They're on the full Telstra 4G network. Yeah, we've been with these guys for pretty much a year. We do so much of our uploading through Boost. And then just the general ease of day-to-day life when you just don't have to give a rat's ass about data is actually very, very nice. So yeah, boost.com.au, give them a follow at Boost Oz on the gram as well. They're always posting some super cool shit with super cool athletes. Also, the guys at Nobby Underwear, you can join the Nobby Nation for just $20 a month. You get a free pair of undies every single month. Included in that, I am a massive fan of their undies, and it's been about the same, about a year. I now have more underwear than I'll ever need, and it's pretty great because I'm not that good when it comes to washing. I don't really do a lot of my own washing, so I'll just kind of let that stuff go until I get down to like my last few pairs of nobbies, and then I'll pull the trigger, do a bulk wash, and then I'm good to go. It is quite nice for underwear to be an afterthought in my life because I have a lot of other stuff that I think about. Also, the guys at Rival Inc. Have been a part of this podcast for a long time. So just wanted to give a quick shout out to those guys. You can head to their website, Rival Inc. Design Co. Check out their graphics if you haven't got new graphics for your 2019 model bike yet. Sorry, this is taking a while today. We've got our new merch is available. Our new Gypsy Gang line. This is the back. So you can go to our Instagram and there is a link. So you go to at Gypsy Tales Podcast. There's a link in the bio and it will take you to our online store to get these new gangster Gypsy Gang shirts. The guys at Omen Printing did those for us. So yeah, and also a bit of housekeeping as well. We are going to be doing this show live at the Blue Water Bar and Grill on Hope Island Sunday. We're going to be doing a live show for Vegas. We've got Jackson Richardson flying in from bloody Cairns. He's going to be flying in. Sam Moore is going to be joining us. The OG Caster Couch will be returning. It's sitting over there moldy as fuck right now. We're going to clean that up, or maybe just leave it moldy and dirty. Mick will be there. Sam will be there. Jats will be there. A whole other bunch of mad dogs will be joining us, and that should be a super fun weekend. We'll be watching the race live and commenting with our nonsense over the top of it. If you've seen the Sam and Jats podcast, you'll know that it's going to be a laugh. Or if you've seen Sydney, it'll be quite similar to that. Mick, How are you, mate? What have you been doing?
Good, brother. Yeah, a bit of riding, bit of watching Supercross, and yeah, that's pretty much me, mate, at the moment.
We were talking about the King of MX stuff before, and you wanted to give them a little bit of a shout out. What's going on with that King
for
of MX?
For sure. We've got a 6-round series, obviously, for the New South Wales state title called the King of MX. 5 rounds into it, a lot of qualifiers have gone through. The 6th round is in Maitland on the 18th of May, 18th yeah. and 19th. If you qualify into that, you get a golden ticket into the next, well, the final, which is in Nowra in June.
Which is a really good track.
Great track, and 10 grand prize money for the King, 10 grand for the Queen, and I think it's a 50cc Husqvarna for a junior, whoever wins the junior in the prize pool as well.
Yeah, awesome.
So it's it's looking really good. Some great qualifiers through already, so fingers crossed for a good round.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so get on board. Where can they, is there like an Instagram or something for that?
Yeah, people... definitely. So just at King of MX for Insta, and then the website at kingofmx.com/events or something like that.
Sweet as. Check it out if you want to go win 10K. I would, but I'm shit. All right, so we had the, I guess, New York round of the weekend is what I'm calling the nail in the coffin weekend. Basically, Cooper Webb does what Cooper Webb has been doing all year, and that is getting a really good start and just watching everybody else crumble like a house of cards around him, namely Marvin Musquin, who went down the first turn, and then Eli Tomac, who went down in the exact same way twice in the whoops. So the riddle of Eli Tomac and whatever the hell's going on with him, I just think that's him now. I think that's just what we expect from him in Supercross. Yeah, it's just, it blows me away. But he's now, yeah, he's out of the, well, he's not. He's mathematically still has a chance to win. But is it 23-point lead?
Yeah, I think it's 20. It's, I think Coop just has to qualify for the 20th in the main event.
Yeah.
I think it's 23-point lead or something. So,
Brutal track again, which was, like, I think it was a good track for racing. Like, I enjoyed the night, but I don't know whether I enjoyed it for the track or if I just enjoyed how much drama was kind of unfolding for the night. It was a race that, you know what's a good Supercross race? Like what my benchmark is for like a good Supercross race is when I'm texting my friends.
Yeah.
During it.
Very true.
That's like my yardstick of like, is this an exciting race? And I was in like a text combo with 3 different friends yesterday when I was watching that main event, and I want to see what I wrote. I think it was just something along the lines like, dude, how good is Coop? When he just, because he was sort of struggling like all night, he wasn't like doing awesome, and then he just comes out and gets the whole shot again, and it's like, people want to say luck or this and that, but it's like, it's not luck when you just getting that kind of start every single weekend.
It's consistent now, isn't it?
And it's just like, I think Armendinger, AJ Armendinger. I love when they have him in the booth. what did I say? You watching the race, bummer for Faulkner. I wrote, Coop is unreal. And that basically sums it up. Like, yep. He was just, there's just nights where it's like, you just don't think he can win. He probably doesn't think he can win. And then he wins.
Yeah, he's built a season on it, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's now built a championship on it. It's crazy. And Danny Stevenson, that's his name, right? One of the field commentator. He was saying, and it was something that I was thinking as well, is that he has like that clutch gene where it's like the pressure doesn't, like it brings the best out of him. And I mean, I know like in my sporting endeavors, I don't like the feeling, which I do feel at the moment with my jiu-jitsu stuff, is like I'm at the end of my belt competition wise. So it's like, I should win. And every time I do win, I feel like uncomfortable with the pressure of everybody thinking that every time I compete, I should win. Because it's hard. Like, I don't personally like to deal with that pressure. I'd rather be in the next belt and have no one expect that I can win and then pull off an upset. But Coop is the other way, and that's obviously why he is a professional athlete, and I'm just fucking nobody. But it's like, he wants that. Those kind of guys, like, they want that crazy pressure of, like, I should win. Now I will win. And that, yeah, that to me is just, like, it's so heavy to, like, that's like a weight you have to carry through an entire season. And he just gets to that start line, and it's like, he's just doing it every single weekend. And, I mean, it's, he did that in the 250 days, and it just, you get those guys when they go on like those 2-3 championship runs in the 250 class, and it just doesn't matter where they start. It doesn't matter if they have a crash in practice. It doesn't matter if their bike is not good. It doesn't matter if it rains. They just win. And you'd see Villopoto do it. You'd see Jeremy Martin do it for a couple of years outdoors. You obviously saw Dungey do it. So, and then Coop, that was what he did when he was there. And I was in the States for Coop's Supercross championships and sort of around. And there's just a level that he carried himself when he was winning those lights championships. And you could just see that confidence. And for the last 2 years, it just wasn't like that. Like, it was a dude that was searching, and he's just got that feeling back. He's got that vibe about himself. And it's infectious, and momentum in its very nature, it just keeps going. It's, you accumulate it. It's that snowball effect. And I think that that's what we've seen with Coop this year, is that he won that Triple Crown, and it's just been this snowball that has just kept rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And like, it was funny, I had someone DM me on Instagram, and he said that he's like, fuck Coop. You know, I was over him as soon as he did like the gun thing to Ken. And I was like, man, you know how much Ken Roczen is my boy. Like, I fucking love Ken. But when Coop did that, I was like, all in.
Yeah.
I was all in, because I'm like, that is swag. That's a vibe that's the kind of stuff that, like, you see that in the NFL. You see that kind of bravado and that kind of like alpha male assertion. And it's like, that's the kind of shit that starts to like generate this momentum for people. And I was just like, dude, that's really cool. And it was cool because the guy that messaged me was like, oh, okay, I can see that. But it's like, that's the stuff that, like Pastrana always says, winners win. That's the kind of stuff where it's like, dude, you're a winner.
Yeah.
Like, that's winner shit. You know, no dude that's losing's coming over the finish line doing that. So, yeah, crazy, crazy weekend, and such a crazy scenario that Coop is, you know, a heat race away from fulfilling a dream and doing it in a time where realistically he shouldn't. Hired as the B rider, development year, all that, new bike, figuring this out.
New crew chief.
Yeah, new crew chief, yep. Like everything. It's like, doesn't matter. I'm going to win. So, but it was, you know what's crazy? I was watching, they did a little segment yesterday during the broadcast of Coop talking about how low he was at Yamaha when he was having all of those struggles. And he said that everything turned around just because Roger DaCosta picked up the phone and called him. And he was like, well, if that dude sees something in me, there must be something there. And it's like, I personally don't, like have a reverence for DaCosta in that way. Like, my dealings with him has just been like, real take it or leave it. Like, the guy's never been very like, hey, how are you? You know, like, there's not
warm.
No warmness. There's no interaction. And it's like, for how much I was around him, I just was like, there should be like just a general level of like being polite. And like, you see someone all the time. Like, we're at the test track every day. And it was just like, And that to me, like, I mean, obviously you don't expect anything of a guy like that in terms of like, he doesn't owe you anything. But it's like, when you're just around people daily, you just tend to, you know, there's some kind of small talk or some kind of like, you know, just to be pleasant makes the day go better. I don't know. So it was just weird. Like, I just never saw it. And I didn't see anything at the track where he would work with people or say different things where I'm like, that's why he's the man. So it's like, there is something, just because I think that doesn't mean that there isn't some special sauce that he's got, because you look at what he did with Dungy. He's essentially done the same thing with Coop now.
Yeah.
Really, like, kind of taken him from... He was a B-class 450 rider, essentially.
Yep.
Like, he wasn't out there doing what he's doing now. And to just have one conversation with the guy, sign him to the team, and then, bang, here we go. This is the fucking champ now. But, yeah, it was interesting to watch Coop say that about Da Costa and attribute his changing everything that was sort of going wrong to like that one phone call, and look how powerful it was.
It's quite interesting, like, that you've sort of mentioned that these we'll just say team manager or that sort of role, they've sort of created their own aura sort of around them, though.
Yeah,
you look at Mitch Payton.
Yeah,
a lot of feedback would be the same sort
I
of feel.
Get it with Mitch, though. Like, Mitch is a cool fucking guy, dude. Like, he's so cool, and like, when you're around Mitch has that aura.
There's an aura around.
Yeah, like, there really is. And he's so cool, and like, he's so direct as well, to where you can see that he just calls it how it is, and he's not...
But do you feel that'd be the same with Roger?
There's just this build up of respect, and there is this aura, and like, he doesn't say a lot.
Wow.
And I think that it's probably just this thing where... It's like the international man of mystery, almost. It's like he doesn't really say anything. So when he says one thing, you're just like, oh.
There's a gold nugget that's just dropped.
Yeah. And that's the vibe I get off about Roger. But I get it with Mitch, dude.
Yeah.
I get it with Mitch. Like, he is a cool dude. And like, the people have like such a respect for him. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain Mitch, but you get around Mitch and you really feel like there's a presence that he has.
Mm.
And with Roger, he's so meek and quiet, and it just, I don't know. And he's old too, like, he's really getting old.
He is old now. Yeah.
So, but it's like, it's obviously relevant, like, what he talks about. But I think the thing with, Coop is that, like, it was a big Red Bull push, man, to get him on that team. So, I don't know the ins and outs and blah, blah, blah. But I think Roger's going to get way more credit for the Cooper thing. Not that he should, but I know that it was like a huge Red Bull push. Because Coop has been essentially Red Bull his entire life until he signed with Star Racing. And they were Rockstar. So if you take those couple of years out of the equation, he's been a Red Bull dude for life.
Mm.
So I think it's been a plan for Red Bull to get Coop back on their program for a long time. So I don't know. I don't know how much credit should go to Roger. Obviously, you know, he's done a lot. But yeah, I think initially that big push to get Coop on that bike was like, that was a big Red Bull push.
And the Red Bull influence, and you know more about this side of it than myself, but the latest Moto Spy, you go into the Red Bull camp with Ken Roczen.
Yeah.
And obviously the influence that Red Bull has within the sport with their athletes is huge as well, isn't it?
Like, oh, dude.
Development-wise for them.
They care.
Yep.
Like, they really care. Like, there's people at Red Bull, and I don't know how much of this stuff, like, people know, but a company is just the people that it employs, right? And there are people at Red Bull that just care so much. Like, their job's not to sell cans. Like, Red Bull just employs these people to like look after these athletes. So there's a culture at Red Bull of like looking after people. And I mean, dude, it was even the same for us, like, film wise like, after Straight Rhythm, the first time we did all the film stuff for that, they had like a party bus. They had like all, like, they just take care of you. Like, everyone's got a hotel room. So it's like, there's a real culture in that company. And the same people, so it was like Jeremy Mallott, that was the Red Bull Jams guy, which was like the junior amateur motocross. I don't know if the S means anything, but like Jesse Nelson was in it. I think Ian Treadle was in it. Cooper Webb was in it. So was Savachi in it? Anyway, they had like this group of amateurs that was in the Red Bull Jams. So it's like Jeremy was in that from day one. Like he still works there. So like he's known and worked with Cooper and sponsored Cooper essentially since he was like 11 or 12 years old. Yep. So yeah, there is such a crazy culture around that company that like they really care. And like when it was the same with James, dude, like when James signed to Monster Cowie, like they were all the Red Bull people, like they were tight. Like that was just a really unfortunate deal going from Chevy trucks to Monster Energy. And there was like an awkward thing, but like there was always a plan to get James back in Red Bull. And I think that that was a part of like the collapse of the whole Cowie thing. Like how do you get a perfect season, win a championship in the Supercross, get a perfect season in motocross, and then leave the team? You know, so like it always caused a rift between them. But yeah, like you're right, you know, you see Ken, it's like it's not like Red Bull's just there going like we need results, we need results. It's like the people that are at Red Bull HQ and like the facility and the testing and all the stuff that they do, like all of those people have like known Ken for years. And they all just want him to be better as a person and like just to help. And I think that that was like a similar situation with like with Cooper. It's like, oh, fuck, we just got to get him back on our program. We can help him. We can, you know, and then they put those steps in place to get Coop back on a Kate or like back on Red Bull. And it's like pretty crazy what's happened, you know.
It's been amazing for him.
Dude, even Berriman, like have you seen Tyler Berriman post stuff of like him at the Red Bull Institute right now?
He's been back there since he was here.
Yeah.
Hadn't he like basically rebuilding himself, hadn't he?
Yep. And like the amount of effort those dudes put into a free rider.
Yeah.
Like they just genuinely, Red Bull cares about their athletes. Like it's sick to see. And, you know, Tyler's been putting in like huge effort to rehab and like all the massage stuff that he's going through. Like it's gnarly the amount of work he's putting into that rehab.
It's huge. Like without those brands sort of behind the sport too, we wouldn't see the sport elevated to where it is now.
Oh,
by far it's improved it so much.
Yeah, 100%. So kind of got a bit off track there, but it was good. So yeah, Marv's out. Essentially he's done. I wonder how he feels now about playing the protector of Coop. I wonder if that's going to go down.
Probably not, eh?
I reckon he's like, he'd have to though. Like, I wonder where their relationship is at, that now that the championship is off the table for Marv, does he, like, because Savachi, we even saw Savachi line up on the inside this week, like way inside. So it's like, is he doing that to try and, because it went like, it went Savachi and then Coop was near the doghouse and then I think Eli was like a little bit over. So it's like, are they even kind of using that strategically? It was interesting at the start of the main. I wonder if, because like Eli was out in front, but he wasn't like pulling away from Coop. He was sort of doing what he did to Dungey last year. And I'm like, damn, like I wonder how this is going to go down. And he had a few aggressive passes, but they didn't really make contact. But like, it's not, it won't, it can't happen like this at Vegas because Coop, like, what's Eli gonna fuck around with Coop in 20th to like try and make him, like, essentially has to DNF the main.
Yeah, that's it. And like, what year was it? 16, was it? The Dungey one where Eli tried to slow it down and bring it back.
I think that was
foot?
Last year.
No.
Not last year, sorry.
Yeah, it must have been 17. Yeah, the year before, I think. Yeah, so, yeah, it was 17. So I can't see. Why would you...
Last year, I'm talking about Anderson won last year. Yeah, it was 17.
You can't... I just don't see how you, without Webb being taken out or something happening to the bike, you just go out and win. Same with Marv.
Yeah.
What's he... How does he block it at this point apart from in the heats?
Well, he doesn't even... Yeah, he doesn't even really have to, eh?
Apart from in the heats, trying to keep him protected to get through to the main.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a... Yeah.
It'd be a weird one at this point for like any kind of, for like Eli to do anything weird to where he'd ruin Coop's lead, because it's like 23 point. Like you'd have to take him out of the race. So like, I wonder what the mentality is of this race. Like, does it mean anything? It's almost like Coop would just have to DNF. Like Coop has to lose in a way. Yeah. Like it just seems like there's nothing really to race for in a way. Like, I don't know. It's a weird one because the lead's so big that he just needs a couple points.
Mm.
And it's like, if you take him out, then it's crazy obvious. But I wonder what the game plan is for Coop. Like, does he just get a mid-pack start and just literally cruise around for 20 laps?
Yeah.
This is a weird Supercross final because, you know, with Dunge, like, in 17, it's like he had to get, you know, I think 5th or 6th from memory.
Yeah.
If Eli won. So then it's like you're still racing and you're dealing with teammates and you're like, you're in the mix big time. But with this, it's really like Coop can just ride around in 15th.
And it's a sad end to what has been one of the better seasons in.
I don't know if it's like, I think it's an interesting end.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to see, like, it sort of is a bit anticlimactic, but it's going to be interesting to see the way they play it.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What do? You try and... Because that was the Tomac thing the other year. Try and slow that pace right down.
Exactly. Which he tried to do that. He tried to do that on the weekend.
Mm.
And it ended up like... Well, I mean, he sort of took himself out. But it was like quite chaotic at one point. Like, they had... Osborne was in there. Then they had... Baggett was in there. And then Eli, obviously. So... When Eli crashed, then it was Coop and Osborne battling, and then Osborne kind of went up into the berm. Like, dude, even like, you want to talk about luck, like make your own luck sort of deal. The way that Osborne sort of crashed or went up off the track, like what happened to Kenny at Nashville could have so easily have happened to Coop just by Osborne rolling backwards down that berm. Mm. But nah, Coop just comes out smelling like roses, like just misses him. It's like, dude, come on, can you do anything wrong?
Yeah, it's crazy. How's that save though from Osborne,
dude?
That
he was flying, bro. Like he looked, I wondered with Osborne, because his style was so like just steer it with the rear wheel.
Yep.
And dudes that do that on a 450, like especially little dudes, it just seems like it's loose. Like Jeremy Martin kind of has that a little bit as well. Mm. And it's like, I feel like you can do it pretty well on a 250F, but as soon as you get on the 450, it's just too much bike. Mm. And it's like to be constantly dancing with wheel spin in that way. Whereas you see a dude like Dunge, it's just all traction. Like you watch Dunge at the test track, and the way he'll come around a bowl turn is you can see the individual tire marks,
yep,
like the knobbies that are coming, you know, following him around that turn. Whereas with guys like Osborne, it's just da-da-da-da-da-da, the whole thing. So you're like, how can this work on a 450? But like he was riding with that same 250 style and he was flying in that race.
Good intensity too. Like just consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, so... Yeah, it's good to see him coming back through. Like, he obviously had a real tough start to the season.
Yeah, that was a hard start, like, to break your wrist in that way and miss the first 7 rounds and then play catch-up. Like, that's one of the worst ways you could start a rookie season in the 450s. But definitely, like, vindication for him to come back. And he's another example of a guy that Bobby Hewitt has just put so much effort and time and was rewarded. You know, and like I've said it on here a bunch of times, how much of a total legend I think Bobby Hewitt is for the way that he sticks by guys. And Zach is another one. Like, if you got to look back at Zach's career, like he went to Europe for a few years.
Mm.
You know, he was the amateur, just had nothing doing and ended up having to go away and has now come back, won a couple of championships and now podium on the premier class. I think he could have easily won the race. The Coop didn't have the same speed for him tonight. last night in New York. So yeah, I mean, he could have easily been a winner in the 450 class.
Do you think parent company, we've got KTM and Husqvarna, two totally separate individuals, would there be any?
Yeah, for sure.
There would be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, I think we sort of saw that at the start when Eli and Webb were battling. You didn't see Zach get in the mix. I think he was more playing like a bit of a roadblock in a way, putting a bit of pressure on Eli. But once it was Coop in second, we didn't really see Zach making sort of moves on him. They're friends too, like big time friends. Then I think once Eli crashed, then it was a matter of like, okay, I can sort of pass him clean and now I can race for a win. But once that was, you know, kind of obviously the crash sort of took that off the table. But I think it was evident, and I think at Vegas you'll see that as well. I think you'll see Zach sort of do what he can to sort of help him out. I think Marv will be the interesting one, like what Marv will do. And I think it's interesting, like, just what Marv will do in general, man. Like, something has to change. But I don't know. Does it, though? Like, if we're looking at it, he's been on the best team with the best bike in the premier class for X amount of years. And he hasn't won. He's come second. He's come third. He's been right there. I mean, have we even seen Marv with the points lead? I don't even think he's had the points lead.
I don't know.
So it's like something is, if you're that close, and like I'd say for the majority of the races this year, he was the best dude.
Yeah, yeah, I agree 100%.
Especially in that mid part where you were saying Coop had that slump.
Yeah, he was the best. He was fast, but just
something's missing.
It has these little glitches. Really, it's a shame because he's probably been the fastest dude.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I mean, they obviously went down the first turn this weekend. That's sort of, it's not like he really had that much of a chance anyway. I just wonder what he has to do. You know, like, does he have to leave Alden's and get a fresh start with somewhere else? Yeah, I don't know, man. But, like, he lives in Claremont. Like, that's his house is, like, his life is based around the Baker's factory. And him and Alden are extremely close. Like, I think that Dunge, Alden, and Marv had like a really good thing going.
There's a bond between them.
Yeah, like they were close. Like, it went a lot further than just a rider coach sort of relationship. I think that, and probably more than he's had with other people. Like, those guys really, because I think that you look at Dunge and Marv, probably two of the dudes that bought into the program the most. So it's like, when you believe in what your trainer's saying that much, then it's like, you know, you're obviously going to get favor from your trainer.
Yeah.
It sort of just makes sense. But yeah, so it's like, I just think it would be so hard for Marv to leave if that was what is kind of going through his head. But it's like, does he even need to leave KTM? But like, how do you leave the best bike?
How do you leave it? And what's actually open for next year?
Well, I think that JGR would have a spot. But like, yeah, where do you even go? Like, I think be interesting to see. Like, I need to put the feelers out and see like what is really going on with the contracts and where people are at in terms of this silly season. Obviously, they're going to keep Marv at KTM should he want to stay there. I'd say that you've got Pike and Hill and Chad at JGR. I could honestly see Chad going around again, and I would think that it would be a smart decision for them to keep him on.
Yep.
I think he gave them their best results this year. And fan favorite wise, like, he got so much, you know, promotion.
Brings
for
a
the
lot
team.
To the table.
Oh, so much. Yep. More than anyone, more than any other rider.
Yep.
But yeah, like, they are going to need like a top tier dude. And it's like, I wonder where they're at, like, program wise. Like, how much longer do they keep doing it without winning? It's It's like, I think they really need to win some main events. Like, you know, if you hire a dude like Marv, you're guaranteed to win like five mains for the year.
Yeah.
Or four, you know, three, four, five mains for the year, which is what you need to do for sponsors. Like, you need to win.
And the Suzuki, like, we've seen when Chad was on it, it looked like a really good package too.
It is. It is a good bike.
So,
but even dude, like, I was talking to Todd yesterday, Waters.
Yep.
And he was just saying, like, dude, why would you buy anything else? Like, he said his Husky, his DPH Husky that he's on right now.
Yep.
I think he even said his stock Husky, just completely stock as is, out of the box, was better than the bike, the HRC bike he rode in Europe.
It's crazy.
Like, that's ridiculous.
What feedback, especially for someone like Todd.
Yeah, and he's my friend, like, been my friend my whole life. Like, he's not proper, talking shit to me, yeah.
Proper feedback, like, that's huge. And I know you rode one at Transmoto last year, one of the Enduros. Mm. I've ridden the latest one as well. It's a good...
Yeah, there
are... I don't know nothing about bikes compared to someone like Todd, but it's a fantastic base package.
Yeah, they're unreal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like,
hard to leave.
Yeah, how would you leave? But it's like, what he's doing isn't... Like, what do you change then? Like, you got... theoretically the best trainer, you've got the best tracks, you've got the best bikes, like, what if
your wife,
what do you change?
Your wife's part of the crew.
She's
there, like, part of the whole program.
Yeah,
everything's familiar. Like, what
yeah
do you
and
do?
It's like, in theory, it's like, it's all great,
it should work.
Yeah, yeah, it's rainbows and fairy tales, but he's not winning the championship ever. So it's like, I don't know, man, that's definitely, and they're like, they would be super hard questions to ask, like, to be really, really objective about it. They would be hard questions to ask yourself, like, what is missing?
You remember we had the conversation with Corey Parker a little while ago about getting on the team bus, who believes they can win every round. That's an that's probably a really interesting one with that as well. Like, if you've got your teammate being Cooper that has been so dominant again, do you go into the weekend thinking, oh, geez, this is going to be... You've trained with him all week. You know, he's been faster at the test track.
That's the problem, man, is that they're training together. Because the games that they play with each other, like, they don't... Like, so, Coop and Eli, they play a game with each other on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Coop and Roxon, they play a game with each other on the day.
Yep.
That's... And it can... It can be won or lost. It can be figured out quickly. You can, on the day, you might be feeling better, you might be feeling worse. Like, you might lose that battle, win it here and there. But those two are playing that game with each other over a week, every week. And it's like that constant grind of, like, being against that guy. And I can tell you from knowing Marvin and Cooper is a dog. He is a straight up dog. And when you are in a dog fight, bet on the dog. Because Coop is, he lives off that back and forth, that mental game, that posturing, the peacocking, like that kind of alpha male shit.
Yeah.
That is going to be what gets in somebody's head, which is going to grind somebody down. Like, everybody's got that dick around the office that he's not necessarily an asshole to you, but just you feel his presence and you want to avoid being around him. You want to spend as little time around, you don't know why, but there's just, he's got that presence that beats you. And I think that's what Coop would be doing to Marv. Marv's a soft guy. Marv's a nice guy. He's a super, super nice guy. But what's the oldest saying in the book? Nice guys finish last.
Yeah.
And Coop is a dog. He's a dog with a bone. And he don't give a fuck. And I think that why you're seeing that sort of, those battles that take place, those mental battles, the momentum each weekend, it used to be who shows up at track walk, who's strutting around track walk, who's laughing, who's got that confidence, who's the guy that you're like, shit, he's on today. You deal with that in like these really small increments, and then you deal with it with like free practice one, qualifying, second qualifying, You're only dealing with it in like these small increments. So that battlefield is less and can be won or lost easier. And then it resets again the next week. There's no fucking reset with Marvin Coop. That's just a grind, man. And like, Marv being that soft, sensitive dude, I just can't see that grind like not affecting him, eh? And with Dunge, like, he didn't have to deal with that at all. And like, Ando's got that same sort of thing as Coop, but not as like nasty, I don't think. Ando's more of like that, like the cool dude, where he's everything's kind of coming easy to him, and he's still laid back, but he'll just beat you with like, you're just like sick of how good he is. Yes. If that makes sense. But it's like, you can't fault him for that.
He's relaxed but measured.
Yeah.
Really, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
Like he said on the show, he's
there's a lot of theory. Super there. Calculated, yeah.
Calculated.
But yeah. He's not doing anything that's like to get to you.
No.
Whereas Coop will just, it's all these subtleties, man. It's just constant games that's like fucking mean.
And when are they apart? Just the flight?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, and then they go home and then like, sorry, I'm just going to check this. Yeah, so it's like then they're just every day. It's just, and can you imagine? It's like that, you know, put your head in like that workmate thing. It's like, you know, you've got to see this guy every day. It's like, how much is that taken away from you? And it's like, this is complete speculation. Like, they could be getting on like a fucking house on fire. I don't think that's the case. I think what we're talking about is happening. But it's just, it's interesting. And it's like, you know, Marv's been with Alden for so long. Coop's only been there a year. Coop comes in and wins a title. It's not like Marv really has like a leg to stand on to say, I want him out of here. Because last time that happened was Ken and Dunge. And Ken and AC left. Because it was like Dunge was the golden goose egg. And it turned out to be right. He won four championships with Alden. And Ken's won zero Supercross championships. But it's like, how does Alden say no? And like, man, money talks too at the end of the day. And it's like, that's where when you win, you get paid, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's
team's paid. Everyone's got money then.
And then it's like, how does that even change the dynamic at KTM? Like, I know that, you know, when Toby wins a Dakar versus when he doesn't win the Dakar, it's like weird, you know, you get in favor with people. So it's like, now that favor is going to be massively in Cooper's hands. So it's like, you think about it. It's starting to look like a bit like the whole sort of Dakar thing, you know. KTM's won that for, what, 16, 17 years in a row? So you look, you've got Dunge's four titles. So that's KTM.
Yep.
You've got a Husky. That's KTM.
Yep.
And now you've got another KTM. So what are we looking at? 6 years of KTM's winning this championship? I know what those Austrians are like. And if you look at what they're like with the Dakar stuff, they need to win that championship.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They don't care about nothing else. They don't care which rider does it. It just needs to be one of their dudes. And we're slowly getting to that point in time where that company is like needing to win these championships. Like, you don't go in the AMA Supercross Championship on a KTM as their lead dudes and not win. That's the mentality that they're going to start to sort of shift towards, which is interesting.
Yeah, absolute winners as a brand.
What else can we talk about? Just
touch on mind games and swag, basically. Remember Ken Roczen, Anaheim 1, the year that he did his arm the first time?
The suit,
the R8. Like, that is huge in itself. You see that guy there, he's there for business. That's a mind game for everybody. And that sort of stuff. Imagine being involved in that every weekend with your teammate. Like,
and every day.
Every day.
It's pretty, it's definitely intense. But I mean, I'd argue we've seen, like, when Ken was doing his best, he was that swag dude.
It was awesome.
And he's not that right now.
No.
Where I think, I definitely think, like, you need to have a bit of that. And, like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you got to be humble, you got to be this and that. You need to be a dog.
When he came out and did that and backed it up on track,
yeah,
that was huge.
Yeah. And look at the momentum it got him, and obviously until he crashed.
Mm.
What else we got?
Basically, what else we got there? A bit more of Osborne. Obviously, his rookie year. That's a major thing for him coming through.
Yeah, that is huge.
He's probably been in the second half of the year the best rookie. Obviously, Plessinger's out from when he broke his broke his heel.
Yeah, that's true.
Zavacci's had
as much as I hate to admit it, Zavacci,
he's had a good year.
Yeah, he's had a decent year.
Sitting back in seventh there, and
don't know that he's ever going to be better than that.
Mm. Just been a few of those sort of. Don't know if you'd say it, like it's like rookie mistakes, obviously in a rookie season, but a couple of the things are very Tomac-ish as well, just small incidents, and you sort of think about
You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, that's right, and you know that's a new KX this year in the 19 model was a complete redevelopment. Just wondering how much of that was maybe just little things that the geometry might be a bit different to what they've had in the. Maybe not for Zavacci because he's on the new bike Just wonder how much of that could be something like that as well. If they're still learning that bike.
But just think with Eli, it's like every year.
Yeah.
You know, like that mistake. Like he just jumped in the same this weekend. He did the same crash twice, and it's like when you're at that top level, you shouldn't crash twice in the same part of the track doing the exact same thing. It seems ridiculous. So I don't know if it is the bike. I think it's in Eli's head. And I think that I think with Zavacci, like he's always thought he's better than he is. Like even as an amateur, bro. Like even as an amateur, he was like looking at Cincerello like, whoa, fucking I should be that guy. No, you shouldn't. You're not as fast as him.
Yep.
You're not that good. And then when he rode at JDR, same thing. He just fully thought he was as good as these other guys. And it's like, and then he had like a chip on his shoulder about it. And it's like, no, dude, you're not as good as Tomac. He's beating you because he's better. There's nothing else. There's nothing's handicapping you.
Yep.
He's better than you. And then I think that a lot of the times, like you see mistakes from him in a way because it's like he believes that he is better and he's trying to do shit that's like, it's like he's writing checks he can't cash in a way.
Yep.
And I just don't think he trusts in the, I think a lot of that's like insecurities in a way that it's like, if it's not happening right now, it's not going to happen at all. Where I think you need to, when you're in that position, like look at Osborne, he did it the right way. Like he went away to Europe. He went out of everyone's view. He slowly built it up. He grinded it out. Like his results were cultivated. They were earned. And it's like he built that base. I think with Joey, you'll see him get these great starts and then he's just like just hammering it out until he crashes. Yeah. Or until he fails, you know? And it's I think it's that same thing where it's like he thinks he's better than he is. There's no presence of mind to genuinely build on something because it's not like if you know he's got the talent and he's super fast like Monster Cup he was crazy fast but it's like he just it's like let it build be there every weekend get some six get some seven it's like it's either he's either getting the start and crashing out or he's crashing and hurting himself and then he's got to come back from that so it's like I don't know I just think with a guy like Joey I don't think it's the bike as much as it's just the... I've always thought he's just had the wrong attitude towards life in general and racing.
It's a tough one.
Mm.
Vegas, last round, we basically spoke of the top ones. Who's your pick to actually win the round?
It depends what each player wants to do.
Yeah.
So does Eli want to go out and just put the hammer down and just fucking smoke everybody and put a bit of an exclamation mark? Not to mention, it's probably about $100,000+ for him to win that race. So like in terms of your bonuses, if you win a 450 Supercross main event, you get about $100,000 from the team / manufacturer. Then those dudes are probably getting $10,000 or $15,000 from Oakley. They're getting money from Alpine Stars. They're getting, so you're probably looking at like 150 G's. So if second in the series is pretty much like a shoe-in. It's over. Then why, like, get that 150 grand. Get another win, you know, another notch in the record books. Or do you try and fuck with Coop to the point that you could win the championship? But it's like, that's like, if, let's say Coop's in 15th. Eli can't be in 15th and then make him crash out of the race and then win the championship from 14th.
No.
Like, Eli sort of just has to win no matter what. So, I don't know. It's like, it's an interesting one just to see what tact people play and, like, whether there is games that come into it. Does Marv go out there and does he try and smoke everybody? Or does he have some kind of team stuff going on where they're like, look, just give Coop a hand. If anything happens, we need to win this championship. So, I mean, if you look at those two dudes, then it's like maybe does Ken step up and get his first win because of all the drama that he's not associated with. So it's like, I don't know, maybe that's the weekend that Ken wins, or maybe Coop just turns out to be the savage of all time and wins the main event. So, I don't know. There's a few things, there's a few ways it could play out. And it's just, it's like, it's sort of anticlimactic because it's like almost over. But then at the same time, I think that is quite dramatic in its own right because it's like, which way are we going to play this? Like, and dude, if you're Coop, do you even ride this week?
Oh, no.
Because do you remember hearing Dunge say in the podcast that the Wednesday before Vegas, he had the biggest crash of his life? Almost cooked him. Like, so his last championship, the Wednesday before, it was his last moto, his bike locked up on the up ramp and he had the biggest crash of his life. He thought he broke his back and then he ended up winning the championship. Like, if I'm Coop, I probably don't even ride, dude. I'd just be fucking drinking beers this week and be like, all right, I'm going to go full Ronnie Mac on this and I'm just going to rock up. I'm going to get in the main and I'm going to just do a victory lap for the entire main event.
It's risky.
Dude, I would not be riding. But then you got like the athlete and the coaches and the blah, blah, blah. They'd all be like, well, you know, you don't want to change any. I'd be like, I'm not changing shit. I'm not changing my socks this week. No. I'm just going to stay in bed,
put myself in a bubble,
get hurt, go to Vegas, qualify through the heat, ride around and collect that money. It's a almost anticlimactic, but yeah, it's sort of not. I think anytime the championship comes down to Vegas as well, like, I'm sort of glad that it didn't get wrapped up. Like, yeah. I want Coop to win. I think he deserves to win. I think it's one of the more remarkable seasons that anybody has put in a really long time. I want him to win. I'm glad he didn't win it in New York because we still get something to talk about. It's an exciting week, and then it will be exciting just to see how it plays out. We haven't seen something like this in a long time to where it's like the dude only has to get a couple points. So, it's almost fitting that it is such a different, you know, this is a different ending to the championship than when we've had, and this has been a very dramatic and different series. So
it's been a good season, really solid season, the whole lot. So yeah, it's good to, you know, shame to see it finish actually.
But yeah, I know. I've been enjoying it. But I guess we'll just have to start doing motocross companions instead.
Yeah, early mornings in Australia.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
250s.
Yeah.
Got anything else on 450 to touch on?
Nah. Pretty good. Yeah, I think we're almost done, skis. I'm pretty happy for Chase Sexton. If anyone's going to win this championship, he's a super, super nice dude. You know what's cool? Like, what I was thinking about it, obviously everyone knows that Faulkner, just couldn't continue. That ACL is Dunzo Gazaimas. But yeah, what's interesting and like what I'm thinking is like, what does this do for the Nest camp? Because this is going to be the first championship that's gone to a rider that's at the Nest. So that's the Ken Roczen, Alex Martin, you know, the Grundle camp. It's like, I wonder if this is a bit of a motivator, like a little bit of a momentum thing to where it's like, if Chase Sexton wins this championship, you know, what does that do for Ken? What does that do for Adam? What does that do for Sealy? All these guys that are kind of around that, the nest there.
Mm.
So I'm interested in that. I'm really bummed for PC, to be honest. Like, I'm bummed for Austin. He's a great dude. I think he'll win another, like, I think he'll win next year if it sort of goes to plan. But I'm bummed for PC, man. Like, they've, it's been a long time between drinks for those guys. There's so much history, there's so much legacy with those guys, and it's just been all Geico and Star these last few years. Particularly because Mitch just refuses to pay these young amateurs the kind of money that those two teams want to pay, which is quite interesting. It's probably another topic altogether. But yeah, it would have been really cool to see Mitch win another title, especially with a guy like Faulkner. I think that there's crazy, not crazy implications, but I think there's, this is now plays a really big role in Adam Cincerello's 450 career, believe it or not. So I think that if Austin wins this championship, Cowie is way, lets AC go to Honda way easier. With Faulkner doing his knee in the way that he has and then losing this championship in a contract year for AC, I think that is going to make Kawasaki want to hang on to him way more. So that's either going to drive his price up with Honda, which Ken was reportedly, it was like a $10 million deal for Ken over 3 years with Honda. Mm. So that's like huge money. So, and then that hasn't yielded a championship yet. So how much money is Honda willing to throw at AC if Cowie is really trying to keep him for 450s.
Mm.
So I think that this whole Faulkner thing probably is, has more of an impact on AC's future than we're really thinking right now. Which is, and I could be so wrong, but yeah, that to me is like how I'm thinking about this whole AC thing. So it's quite interesting.
And if AC steps up, do you think it'll be next year?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think so.
It have to be time.
I wonder where he's at with the points. I don't think he has pointed out. I think that the option would be there to defend the title because he's just won the title. But yeah, I don't know. And especially with, like, you got to think, I mean, we've talked about it before with Cooper winning the 450 title. Obviously, AC spent his entire teenage life waxing Coop. There's got to be some kind of like weird mentality there to where he would want to get up there and sort of rub shoulders and try and win that title. Mm. But it'd be crazy to see AC on anything other than a Cowie, wouldn't it?
How long's it been now?
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, what a team that would be. Ken in Fox gear, AC in Fox gear. I mean, I wonder if...
Two likable characters.
Oh, two of the, well, the likable
characters of the sport. So. Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see. I don't think Red Bull would take AC on. I think that AC is a lifer with Monster.
With Monster, yep.
Yeah. I wonder how that plays out. There's no deal at Honda to where he'd have to drop Monster or anything like that. But then obviously Monster's association with Cowie. I could see Monster putting in a bunch of money. To keep AC on Cowie, and then I think that Monster's contract is up with Supercross too.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like Red Bull could be wanting to get in on that as well.
Yeah, I did read something a while back. I knew it was coming close because they chipped in a lot of money for Tiger Woods and NASCAR as well.
Yeah. Well, you know what's crazy, dude? So before I even found out that it was their deal is about to be done, I was like, that's interesting that they changed that logo. It's not the Monster Energy Supercross,
isn't it?
In the same logo. Look up the, go to AMA, like the
actual Supercross page.
Yeah, look at the Supercross logo, dude. Looks way more Red Bull. Yeah. So I think that they've spent a year rebranding
it
in a way to where it's like they could just slot a different sponsor.
Quick changeover.
And then it's not such a big deal. But I think that they even, like, the Monster Girls have been phased out a lot more than what they don't have as much of a presence, because I think that One of the daughters of Feld, like the whole Feld group, one of the daughters has actually taken over, and she's trying to clean up the sport in a way. Mm. Fucking retarded.
Another sport.
Yeah.
So.
Did you find the logo?
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely changed a bit, so.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I don't know, different access that different companies have had to filming Supercross, which they've never had before.
Yeah.
Sort of makes me wonder what's going on there. Mm. So, I mean, then if you take that into play, then does Monster, say Monster isn't, it's not Monster Energy Supercross anymore, then do they have a bunch more money to put into winning the title itself that they haven't won since Villopoto? So they've won, they've got the Monster Energy Supercross that has been won for the last 6 years by a different manufacturer, by a different energy drink.
Yep.
So does that sort of change the landscape if, you know, they take the money out of the title sponsorship and then, because that's the thing with like Red Bull, it's like, why would we sponsor the series when our athletes are dudes standing on top of the podium?
Yep.
But yeah, and then like the other crazy thing is like with all this CBD stuff, I think CBD is going to be the new energy drink.
Yeah, I think so. Like it's sort of, you see evolution of sponsorships over the years. So you look at, you know, tobacco.
Yep.
Driven the sport massively. Alcohol, tobacco was huge. Then obviously, energy drinks have promoted our sport huge. Like they've done wonders with the sport.
Insane.
CBD is growing massively.
Yeah.
Like it really is, isn't it? So yeah, just got to pass through some of the other red tape, it seems.
Yeah. All the bullshit. Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, that's like, I guess, an interesting little side segue is like the whole AC thing. Does Faulkner not winning this championship mean Monster needs to, wants to keep Adam going into next year? Is Adam even going to step up next year? The whole Honda thing. Then is Monster going to drop off as a series sponsor, which would then give them more money to put into a guy like AC? So it's all it's quite interesting to see where it's going to go.
Super interesting. And so many, like for Adam's case, it's such a hard thing. You've got Sealy just coming back from injury this year. I don't know where he's at. Ken's obviously signed on. And then Zavarci is only new to Kawasaki this year for the 450.
They could clip Zavarci so easily. Like, so there would be no hard feelings there.
Is that the spot to go, you know? So
yeah, but dude, yeah, it's, that's a, I think that's one of like the biggest signings of recent memory, like the whole AC thing, especially with him winning this West Coast Championship, looking the way that he does. I think he's going to ride a 450 really well. Yep. He's coming into that right age to sort of do it. Hasn't been like a rushed transition. Whereas like you look at a dude like Cooper, it's like he wins his three titles and then he goes up and he has two shit years and then wins his title. It's almost like AC's had the two shit years have been in the 250 class. And then he's been able to see himself on the other side of those shit years, still in the 250 class. Whereas Coop had to grow up, essentially. Coop had to become a man in the big boy class. Whereas it seems like Adam has had a chance to become a man in the little boys class and really figure it out.
Yeah, he has.
So,
sure.
Yeah, that's definitely, that's what's got me like super intrigued going into next year.
Yeah, definitely. That, and then obviously we've got outdoors.
Yeah, I know, which no one cares about until we start doing super motocross companions, and then I'm going to get super into it.
I can't wait for it, and it's good to see Jason Anderson back out on the bike, and that it's going to be a good season.
Yeah, it will be. Alright, we'll wrap it up, mate. You've cool. got to go. I got more work to do. Get this up online. Thanks again to the guys at Nobby Underwear, nobby.com.au, the guys at Boost, boost.com.au. You can go get your merch, get one of these. That's on our Instagram. You can follow our Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube, please. And yeah, if you are in the Brisbane, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast area this week, this weekend, please come to the Blue Water Bar and Grill in Hope Island. We are going to be sending it for a massive Sunday sesh, a live podcast featuring myself, Sam Moore, and Jackson Richardson, two-time Supercross champion, just throwing that in for good measure. An absolute mad dog. We'll be there having a couple of beers afterwards as well. watching the race. It'll go on YouTube, but it'll be better if you're there in person. So if you can be there, you should be there. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a cool change of scenery and doing it with some of my best mates. So, Mick, thank you very much.
No worries. Just a shout out. Public holiday on the Monday.
So we can get lit.
We can have a really good one.
Yep. We can get lit. Mm. All right. So, yeah, that's even better. What's the public holiday for? May Day?
Yeah.
Would be May Day.
Yeah, Labor Day, May Day.
Yeah, one of those. Righto. So, yeah, cool. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Supercross Companion. We will see you all at the Blue Water Bar and Grill for the Vegas Live Supercross Companion. Peace.
Cheers.